we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Thursday's show is African athletics. James Dadzi is the new 200-meter national record holder in Ghana. James recently clocked 19.79 seconds at a meet in Lubbock, Texas. James set the mark on the track at Texas Tech University. The Ghanaian sprinter is a student athlete at another school in Texas, Western Texas College. Joining us now with more details about Dadzi is Yawa Fusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Dadzi's trajectory as an athlete has been inspiring. His first ever announcement to a big stage was at the Central Regional Super Zonals Athletics Championships in Cape Coast when he stormed to a 100-meter win while running for Agri Memorial AME Zion Senior High School. He was their star, a star who had become a champion of the Central Region. And for him, running came easy.
It's all about techniques. You listen to your coach, you follow the instructions that they give you, you can pass through.
Now he has run the world-leading time in 200 meters at 19.79 seconds, which has effectively made him the national record holder, a title formerly held by Joseph Paul Amoah, who ran a time of 20.08 seconds a few years back. It has been a long road for Dadzi. In the United States, under the tutelage of the legendary James Williams, he has had to learn to run all over again, listening to the gun, picking his head up and running in the right posture when the race gets into the dry phase. He has had to do all of that again.
For instance, I was a very poor starter in Ghana, but when I got here, my coach has been able to correct that error, so now I can really react with the gun sometimes, but it's not perfect. But it's better than what I was doing in Ghana. Ghanaian coaches are really, really good, just that we don't get enough competitions in Ghana. That is our main problem, because you can train for like a whole 6 months and then you run two competitions. How are you going to work on your mistakes and then improve? But here, every weekend, you are competing.
Dadzi's coach, James Williams, was also the man who helped Jeanette Amponsah to break the national women's record in 200 meters. Beyond all the training, Williams is also building the young athlete's mental psyche. This was Dadzi when he stormed his way to a second place finish at a 60-meter indoor competition earlier this year.
I personally believe that in myself I won, but anyway, technology says I was second, but I just have to let it go because it was fun, and it was a nice experience.
Dadzi, like every other athlete, wants to run at the Olympic Games, and it's a dream he wants to fulfill as early as next year in Paris.
I just want to make my dad proud to be seen on the podium of Olympic Games, receiving a medal. Because that's always been my dad's dream, and then he couldn't accomplish that. So that's always been my target, to make him proud, to get to that level and then showing that, Dad, what you were not able to do, I did it for you.
The young athlete is on the road to success, and he has set off pretty fast sprinting towards his goals. With an injury-free season and a year-on-year improvement, the sky can only be the limit for James Dadzi. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusu-Larbi in Accra.
Hi guys, I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder, and now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Africa's fastest man, Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, is promising to break his African 100-meter record on home soil at Saturday's Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi. Omanyala told Kenya's Daily Nation newspaper, and I quote, "Yes, I'm feeling good. The record is going down, and I'll break it a couple times this year." 2 years ago at the same Kipkano meet in Nairobi, Omanyala clocked the African record of 9.77 seconds. Two of his top challengers in Nairobi are from the USA, Kenneth Bednarik and Marvin Bracey. Bednarik is the reigning Olympic silver medalist at 200 meters, and Bracey won the silver medal at 100 meters at last year's World Championships in the U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. The women's 100 meters in Nairobi should also be exciting. The featured athlete is Jamaica's Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, a three-time Olympic champion, nicknamed Pocket Rocket. I love that nickname, Pocket Rocket. The Jamaican star, regarded as one of the greatest female sprinters of all time, won gold in the 100 meters at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing and the 2012 Olympics in London. The Kipkano Classic meet, Saturday in Nairobi. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes, and check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. In the National Basketball Association playoffs, the New York Knicks and the defending champion Golden State Warriors both staved off elimination with victories at home Wednesday night. We'll begin with the champion Warriors, who defeated the Los Angeles Lakers in San Francisco, California. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from San Francisco.
The Warriors kept their season alive as they beat the Lakers 121-106. Six players scored in double digits, including all five starters. Stephen Curry scored a game-high 27 points.
From the jump, the way we did, you know, handle their run the way we did, and then close out that fourth quarter strong was exactly how, you know, we expect to play. And just a matter of, can we take it on the road and win a must-win game on Friday.
L.A. still leads the series 3-2. In the loss, LeBron James with 25 points.
I guess the grit and the fight that we've had since we came together after the All-Star break. Very resilient team, and we respond well to adversity, and we look forward to that, you know, to get an opportunity to play again on Friday.
Game 6 is in Los Angeles on Friday night. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. From San Francisco, let's go across the USA, heading east to New York City, where the New York Knicks beat the Miami Heat. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Jalen Brunson and the Knicks have forced a Game 6 in the Eastern Conference semifinals by defeating the Heat 112-103. Brunson played all 48 minutes in the potential elimination game, accounting for 38 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists.
Just trying to do everything I could to win. We did that, and now it's on to Game 6.
R.J. Barrett pumped in 26 points for New York, which denied Miami's first attempt to become just the second number 8 seed to reach the conference finals. Julius Randle added 24 points to the win.
Not really any pressure. It's the same game. I feel like, you know, if we went out and do the little things better, execute a little better, we'll be fine. So we did that tonight and came out with the win.
Jimmy Butler had 19 points, 9 assists, and 7 boards for the Heat. Game 6 is Friday in Miami. I'm Dave Ferris.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, it'll be Game 6 later Thursday night in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Phoenix, Arizona. In Philadelphia, the Philadelphia 76ers will host the Boston Celtics. The 76ers lead this series 3-2. And in Phoenix, the Phoenix Suns are at home against the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are in front 3-2. So it's must win for Boston and Phoenix. In Boston last week, Philadelphia's Cameroonian big man, Joel Embiid, received word that he won his first NBA Most Valuable Player award. In this encore presentation, let's listen in again to Embiid's reaction on TNT television.
You know, it's been a long time coming. You know, a lot of hard work. You know, I've been through a lot. And I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm talking about, you know, everything as a life, you know, my story, you know, where I come from and, you know, I got here and, you know, what it took for me to be here. So it feels good. I don't know what to say. It's amazing.
Among those offering congratulations to Joel Embiid was another big man, Shaquille O'Neal, the Basketball Hall of Famer who won the NBA's MVP award in 2000. Joel Embiid thanks Shaq for helping motivate him to be a better basketball player.
Thank you, big fella. Appreciate it. I still remember the conversation we had a couple years ago. I think it was 3-4 years ago. It was actually here in Boston. We had just played Boston, and, you know, you guys were all on me about, you know, I got to be dominant. And, you know, to this day, I still remember that conversation. And, you know, that helped a lot, and that changed a lot when it came to the way, you know, I went about my business. So thank you.
Joel Embiid also thanked his teammates on the Philadelphia 76ers.
First of all, you know, I thank all of them because I couldn't have done it without them. You know, that being, you know, obviously we've been winning a lot and, you know, the work that they put in to put me in, and trust me, and putting me in positions to succeed has been, you know, amazing. And they've given up a lot for me. So, you know, I'm just thankful for, you know, for these guys. They're all behind me. And I know how much I'm thankful. I'm thankful for them.
Joel Embiid did talk about a few people who helped him begin playing basketball at the age of 16.
I think there's about 2 or 3 people, I would say. There's definitely more people that have helped me along the way. And, you know, if I start going on, we're going to be here all night. but, you know, you can start with, I'll say my uncle, because he was the one that kind of started getting to my head when I was 16. And also to my dad's head about, you got to let him, you know, start playing basketball. And my dad just wasn't with it because I think he thought it was too physical for me, which is funny because I like the physicality. But, you know, it was, you know, it was always, you know, all up, you know, my dad about you got to let him try. And finally, I got the chance to start. And Luke came back and he had a basketball camp in Cameroon. And that's really how he started, you know, going to his camp. Obviously, I had just started playing basketball. And, you know, and I was just talking to him earlier. Like, there was no way we could have known that I would have been, you know, in the NBA or, you know, at this level. But, you know, he gave me this opportunity to really come to the U.S. and be able to take advantage of, you know, what I've been given. And I'm just so thankful. But like you said, you know, the one thing that I want people to just remember is that, you know, anything is possible. You know, for me, you know, as you know, starting playing basketball so late at 16, that's, you know, that's, you know, that's hard. You know, that's hard to make it. And to be able to be in this position, you know, it obviously took a lot of work and a lot of luck. But, you know, I just want people to just remember that, you know, anything is possible, no matter what you do, as long as you believe in it and, you know, anything is going to happen.
That's Cameroonian big man Joel Embiid, the NBA's MVP for 2023. And Joel spoke with TNT Television from Boston. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Sonny Side of Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Kigali, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. The top eight teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's game time, Kigali. The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs tip off May 20th in Kigali, Rwanda. Ruben Bumpche Bumpche is a former NBA player who is now head of league operations for the BAL. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Ruben looks ahead to the BAL playoffs. But first, Ruben looks back at recent Nile Conference action in Cairo, Egypt.
I think that the Nile Conference game showed a lot of very good competition. For the most part, I think that Ali and Petro somewhat separate themselves from the get-go as being the top teams. And obviously, their matchup was the apex of the competition here. We saw a great game, really beyond probably expectation, a game for the ages. That ended in the buzzer beater with Petro winning. You know, but the other team, you know, Cape Town and Beira, who qualify, really had to fight very hard, you know, against City Orleans, like, and they did provide us with, you know, really good competition and to find the ways to get to Kigali. So I think overall, we saw very good competition. And, you know, we're definitely looking forward to see the type of this type of competition again in Kigali and hopefully even greater quality of basketball in the playoff.
Some basketball analysts have said that the playoffs of the Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda, will be too close to call because of the teams that have qualified. What's your take on this?
Yes, I think that in Kigali, the playoff will be probably pretty difficult to determine who's going to come out of it. We saw what happened in that card. The level of competition, I think, was fairly even amongst the teams. And when I look at what happened here in Cairo and the team that qualified, I think for the most part, you know, they are somehow, you know, at the same level. So, yes, I believe it's going to be really, really, really hard-fought game. I think the teams are relatively well balanced and against each other are relatively well matched. So I expect, you know, that we will have a lot of great fun competition in Kigali, and, you know, everything will have to really fight hard to move on.
You watch the Sahara and Mai conference games. Do you think the standard of the game is growing in Africa?
The standard of basketball is definitely growing in Africa. As we watch the competition in Dakar and here in Cairo, and I think this is actually reinforced by just talking to, you know, clubs, leadership, the staff, in terms of how countries, a number of countries, are trying to elevate the quality of play locally, which is going to affect, obviously, going to the future, the quality of the BAL. So I think the BAL has brought that to the continent, elevated the game, and then growing enthusiasm around among, you know, local players or players from African diaspora to really, you know, step up or make effort to improve the individual game, but as well, like, you know, improving the club's level of competition. So it's been a great experience. It will continue to be a great and positive experience for basketball in Africa. So I look forward to continue to see the quality of games improve as we continue to grow this league and have the BAL every year.
That's Ruben Bumpche Bumpche, head of league operations, Basketball Africa League. And Ruben spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dakar, Senegal.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Coach Mills joined Mukbil Yabaro and me on our special Nothing But Net with Mukbil and Sonny, VOA BAL podcast. And Mukbil asked Coach Mills, what have been some of the biggest changes for her from BAL season two to BAL season three?
Well, first and foremost, I'd love to thank Bill and Sonny, you both, for inviting me to be on the show again. I love your coverage of the BAL. So first and foremost, it's a honor to be asked to be on the show. And in response to your question, it's always a privilege to get an opportunity to coach in the BAL. And so I'm very happy to be back again for season three. And I think the biggest change off the court is really the management of the league itself. I think, you know, every year it gets better. It gets more fluid, more smooth. Kinks are getting ironed out. And obviously, with, you know, COVID now not being an issue like it even was last year, we have a lot more freedom. And that means more fans are coming to the games. We've got more access to different facilities. And I think that helps develop the league in the home market, but also helps expose the league to new fans each year. I also would like to say that the BAL has done an amazing job improving their off-court projects, such as the BAL Advanced Program, which is a program which allows players to learn about branding and marketing, for example, or sports psychology, sports nutrition. And so it's got a really holistic approach, and we didn't necessarily see that in season two. So this is something they've developed for season three, which has had a significant impact on the players so far. So for me, I really feel it's even from season three to four, I expect another leap, and hopefully I have the opportunity next year to continue coaching in the league and get to see the development for next year as well.
Coach Mills, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Voice of America. So thank you for joining us from Abidjan.
Coach, seeing how you're the only female head coach in the BAL, do you feel like there will be more female coaches in the next few seasons of the league?
Most definitely. And I want to give a shout out to Coach Caddy Diop, who was the assistant coach for Dhaka University last season. So it was great to have another female coach in the competition. And this year there's only me, unfortunately. But I can't tell you how many female coaches reach out to me. And we're talking female coaches who have been assistant coaches in the NBA, who are really interested in coming across and coaching in the BAL. And so I think it's really just a matter of time before, you know, it's not just me marching up and down that sideline. I'm going to be seeing another female head coach or female assistant coaches in the league. And I think that's what really separates the BAL from any other professional men's league in the world. It's the opportunities for women, not even just in terms of coaching, but you see female referees, game commissioners, officials, commentators, sports journalists. You see them all the way through the BAL operations team. And it's so refreshing to see something like that and see it be successful. And it's hopefully influencing other leagues like the NBA, EuroLeague.
Well, as for the entire BAL coach, do you think there are any distinct advantages that veteran teams possess over the newcomers? Petro, 2022 BAL finalist, very veteran team. Your thoughts?
Oh, exactly. Like they definitely have an advantage because I think they've been there. They've been on the biggest stage. These stadium, like a lot of these teams have never participated in stadiums like this, never have had the same media exposure like this, haven't played in crowds like this. So when you've got teams who have participated in the BAL before, nothing phases them. Nothing's new. They've been here. They've done that. And I think that's a distinct advantage. But also like teams like Petro, who have been dominant on the continent for the last 20 years, nothing kind of phases this group. And I think, you know, given that they've recruited Atiya Majok, Solo Diabati from Monastir, who won the BAL, that's only added to the experience on their roster.
What are your thoughts on the BAL Elevate program? And can you tell us about Joy Ikuvadja, the BAL Elevate player for the Abidjan Basketball Club?
So Joy is a young man from Nigeria. He is a point guard, combo guard, and he's a stealthy lefty, which, you know, as a coach, you love having a lefty in your pocket. So he's a bright, he's a high character young man, and he's highly coachable. That's the most important thing at his age. And I think he really came in, he was very confident in how he presented himself to the team. And look, he played with Rwanda Reg last year, so he's coming in with experience, and he really did an amazing job slotting in. Now, in terms of the Elevate program across the BAL, it's a really unique project that the BAL have undertaken. You wouldn't see this in EuroLeague or the NBA, but I think it's the right move for Africa. With the NBA Academy, it's important that these young players get an opportunity to play with elite clubs. And although, you know, some of these players, you know, end up just training with the team, just even being amongst men and understanding what a professional men's team does day to day is an experience that will elevate their game, regardless of whether they get on and off the court. You know, eventually I see this project falling away and we'll just see Elevate kids getting recruited straight out of the academy. And that's what you want to see, what we see in Europe and Australia, where you have academies that feed into senior club teams. And I think it's a great idea by the BAL right now. It's exactly what we need. And, you know, it's showcasing Africa's young talent to the world. And hopefully, you know, this is appreciated and these young gentlemen get an opportunity that they will thrive in.
Liz Mills is the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club and the only female head coach in the Men's Basketball Africa League. And that wraps up the May 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.